Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, I mean,
they're out.
They're terrible.
It doesn't matter.
It was. They went for fourth down, 23-20. You know, they went for fourth down at the end of the game when they could win a field goal. Just ends. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, they won it.
Can we get to the QB shootout?
Which is
the golf tournament. Patton Kizzire and Brian Harmon had a great late eagle.
What?
Are those real people? Did you make those names up?
It's 100% real. You didn't watch?
No, there was golf.
Again, I don't have the red zone, so I missed all of your open.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty, we're live at Chatter. Chatter is at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest in Friendship Heights in the District of Columbia. We have trivia tonight. Tuesday night is trivia night. We are available for holiday parties. Just call the restaurant, ask for Ron, or ask for anybody. Ask for a manager.
Ask
doesn't
for
matter.
Satchmo.
We are available for parties, and we're trying to move gift cards.
Yes.
Chatter gift cards are a very good thing. You can call us, ask for a manager, arrange to get a gift card, give the gift of food and drink at Chatter. Very important. Let me say also, David Aldridge is here, Tori Clark is here, Michael Kornheiser is here, Nigel's here to run the board, do the news. Michael Kornheiser's older sister, Elizabeth, celebrates a birthday today.
Happy birthday.
I'm sure she's not listening. I am certain she's not listening. But happy birthday to Elizabeth. And just before we get into the Monday Night Football game, let me say that I will be the chief of staff. I'll do it.
You're available?
I guess he can't find anybody to do it. It seems to me, and I don't know this for a fact, but if chief of staff is what I think it is, where you pretty much stay in one spot all the time and you have a notepad and you say, you can go in and see him now and you can't, I can do that. It's not that hard. I'm not a policy maker, but, the White House is nice. I've been in it. It's really nice. The food is good.
Yes.
If he needs a chief of staff for a while, I mean, I'll take a couple of weeks off, PTI and the podcast. I'll do the chief of staff and then talk about it.
It used to be considered, if you wanted to do it well, it was the hardest job in the White House. Mm-hmm. And now it's the easiest job in the White House because President Trump is the White House chief of staff.
That's right.
So, yeah, you just get to sit there, wear a nice suit, good parking.
He doesn't need
great
any.
Parking.
It's not that he doesn't need anybody. He doesn't listen to anybody.
Correct.
So I will do that. Other people don't. I mean, honestly, the chief of staff of the vice president said, nah, too busy.
Yeah, there's
really?
More to that one.
There's got to be more to that.
Yes.
I would say that during rehab, I would have thought, well, Draymond Green's back, but Draymond Green could have done it. He was out for a week or so.
Right.
Draymond Green would have been good because you really don't want to fool around with Draymond Green.
Well, Dwight Howard also available
Dwight
right now.
Dwight Howard totally available.
Roseanne.
This is a good idea.
Doing anything right now.
She's got nothing to do.
They've tried the military. Let's move to sports. That's an excellent idea.
Sure. You know, sports,
he likes athletes.
And sports people, particularly football players, are incredibly organized because they're in classrooms all the time.
Right.
So they can do this. This is, if you're on IR, you can
Kirk
do this.
Cousins excellent might not idea. Be doing anything right. in a couple of weeks.
Thank you for mentioning
Kirk
Cousins.
He hasn't been doing anything for the last couple of
so
weeks.
So let's but get to this, because this is what I thought about. Now, I did not watch the whole game, and by the whole game, I mean I didn't make the second half of that game. There are a couple of surprises. Seattle suffocated Minnesota. Seattle has now joined, and it's very surprising. The Seattle Seahawks were left at the side of the road for dead this year, because all of their great defensive players had either been traded, had walked, or had been cut.
Or hurt.
All of them. Or hurt. Mm-hmm. All of them. And because many of their great defensive players, particularly Richard Sherman, hated Russell Wilson and was vocal about hating Russell Wilson, we were left to believe that the Seattle Seahawks were dead. They were certainly not. They have no chance against the Los Angeles Rams. At the beginning of the year when Jimmy Garoppolo was scheduled to be the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, the assumption was that they would pass him to, not Arizona, because Arizona's a terrible team, but Seattle would finish no higher than third in the West and would have no playoff chances and would be lucky to be a 500 team. I think I'm accurate in saying that's what the perception was at the beginning of the year.
They were going the wrong direction.
Right. The other team that they were playing last night, the Minnesota Vikings, was said to be a Super Bowl contender.
Mm-hmm.
They had gotten all the way to the conference championship last year. They had gotten to that game as a result of what I think we could agree is the worst defensive play in the history of the NFL. the DB.
Oh, yeah. The
DB to, jumping past.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs. Yeah.
That's a big statement, though.
What was
in the history?
Oh, no.
Okay. It was awful. It was really dumb.
It was inexcusable.
He's the last line.
I still remember Ken Stone in 74 in the Thanksgiving Day game.
Okay, but this was a contender.
It's on the short list.
Contender for the worst defensive play of all time. Lost the game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can't lose that game.
You've got one job. You're
the last guy. Okay, and suddenly you're the next to last guy because that guy's going the other way.
Really fast. Dude.
So, but still, they go and they spend a tremendous amount of money on Kirk Cousins, and they say Kirk Cousins is going to take us to the Super Bowl because we got everything else.
Weapons.
We got everything else. Well, okay. That hasn't worked out. Seattle is now 8-5. Mm-hmm. They've won four games in a row, and I would ask you to raise your hand if you saw this coming, because I did not. No. Wilbon will say I'm not surprised, but he's lying. He's lying, because nobody saw this coming.
Nobody.
And Minnesota is 6-6-1, mm-hmm. and I'd ask you to raise your hands if you saw this coming, because nobody saw this coming. They got rid of all their quarterbacks, two of whom I understood getting rid of. I understood getting rid of Teddy Bridgewater. I understood getting rid of Sam Bradford. Case Keenum had a great year.
Great last year.
Case Keenum had a great year.
Sure did.
Kirk Cousins, the most scrutinized person in the NFL at the beginning of this year and mm-hmm. probably today. So I'm going to go around the league a little bit. And I'm going to ask Tori and David and Michael and Nigel. We're going to pick quarterbacks now. Going to go around good quarterbacks. Really good quarterbacks.
Okay.
In the AFC East, Tom Brady. Right? Mm-hmm. We're not going to name anybody else in the AFC East because we don't trust Tannehill.
Peterman? No. Not Peterman.
Not Peterman and not Josh Allen. And what's the other team in the AFC
East?
The Jets. No, we're not. But we'll give you Tom Brady. We'll go to the AFC Central or whatever they call it. South, whatever. North.
The North.
Certainly we name Roethlisberger. Without question, we name Roethlisberger. I believe we name Andy Dalton. I believe Andy Dalton's body of work. He's a good quarterback. He is a good quarterback.
RG3.
Good.
Not naming RG3. I'm gonna take Flacco out, but I'm going to say that down the road you might think this of Lamar Jackson.
Correct.
But right now, no. So now I've got Brady, Roethlisberger, and Dalton.
What about Baker Mayfield?
Baker Mayfield, your boy. Yeah. Baker Mayfield down the road. Somebody you would say is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next division in the AFC.
The South.
Andrew Luck's a good quarterback.
Correct.
Deshaun Watson is a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. Marcus Mariota, he might be a good quarterback. He's somebody who thinks okay.
It's okay.
He's mm-hmm. okay. Marcus Mariota.
We're not putting him in good yet.
And we're not putting Blake Bortles in there or anybody else.
We're not.
Now we're going to go to the West in the AFC. Phillip Rivers, he's a good quarterback.
Good.
Yes.
I believe Case Keenum is a good quarterback. You might argue. But Case Keenum, I think, is a good quarterback.
He's been good the last couple of years.
Right now, what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Derek Carr. Maybe, but I don't think
been good this year.
Yeah, I don't think you have to put him in there. Mm-hmm. Okay? Pat Mahomes? Pat Mahomes.
I'm sure he's still out.
Now we're going to go to the NFC.
Okay.
NFC East. Carson Wentz, good quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's a good quarterback. I'm going to leave Eli out because Eli looks like he's done. Leave out the guys on the Redskins, whoever they were. Alex Smith, I'm going to leave them out. And Dak Prescott, I'm going to say, maybe.
Borderline.
Yeah, Dak Prescott, maybe. Okay. NFC South. Drew Brees, good quarterback. Yes. Matt Ryan's, he was the MVP of the league 2 years ago. Cam Newton was the MVP of the league. They're good. You want them. You want Ryan. You want Newton. Now we'll go to the West.
You're currently at about 3 out of 4 quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson. You want Russell Wilson.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Because everybody who ran their yaps about Russell Wilson seems to be wrong right now. Mm-hmm. He's got a Super Bowl win. And he's got a Super Bowl
loss.
He should have two.
Hand that ball off.
Hand it off. To the angry man in the backfield.
Jared Goff's a good quarterback.
Correct.
Yes. Jeff Fisher wrong. Jared Goff's a good quarterback.
May have missed that one.
Now we go to the next division, the last division. Aaron Rodgers.
Wait.
What?
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, you don't know now because he's been hurt all year.
He's hurt. Okay.
Yeah, no, Jimmy Garoppolo I wrote down with a question mark, as I wrote down Mayfield and Lamar Jackson with question marks.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is a pretty good quarterback.
Yes.
I think Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback. Yes. You might find him questionable. I'm not going to list Trubisky. And then I get to Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
I got 13 guys for sure who are better than Kirk Cousins. For sure. I got 5 guys who might be.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins is making more money than anybody in the league.
Mm-hmm.
What's he doing? He's delivering nothing that he's paid to. Am I wrong on this? He's the biggest story of, and I don't want to say failure, because not failure, but he has not lived up to the expectations more than anybody in the league.
I think, once again, Washington has been involved in a trade situation involving key players where nobody turned out to be any good. This reminds me so much of Shuler and Farrat, and neither one of them were any good.
So, but Kirk Cousins, the Redskins
drove up the market value by treating him so badly and never signing him or trading him. They drove up the value.
And he seems like a very, very nice guy, and that doesn't hurt.
But
at the beginning of the season, I remember you guys in this room talking about Kirk Cousins. Boy, maybe this is the place for him, and it looks like he can really do it.
Yes.
And he clearly can play. He just doesn't live up to his potential.
He's not one of the 10 or 12 best quarterbacks in the league. He's not. He's paid number one through a fortunate circumstances for him.
Well, God bless him.
He can put up a lot of numbers, but he's not the kind of guy.
Minnesota.
That would put the team on his back if they weren't playing well. Say, just follow me. I'll take it to the promised land.
This is the conversation you heard in town for years. Mm-hmm. And this extends past this 1 year to the guaranteed money that he's already received from this city.
Mm-hmm. It was 2 years. $60 million, right?
For 2 years. No, not 60, but 50.
A lot of money.
50, would 50 he take plus? Less money if he played better? You know, if you went to Kirk Cousins and said, okay, we got to make a deal with the devil.
Oh, no.
And you can be more successful and win more games and perhaps go to the Super Bowl, you'll have to make less money. Would he take it?
I don't know.
What does he care more about?
I don't know. I think he felt like he was setting a new standard for quarterbacks, especially in the NFL, the most important position in the sport, and that they needed to be paid more commensurate with their ability, their potential, their production, and free agency in lesser degree. He felt like this was important, that he maxed this out.
And is he now, God bless him, is he now going to set the bar higher for other quarterbacks?
That's what
going
I think
forward?
He's
they're,
hoping.
They're going happen. To say, look, if that guy,
that's
who only
right.
had this
that's
kind
right.
of season, right. got that's this right. much, then I
Or it reframes the conversation as to what numbers you're looking at, because he was helped by the quality of this team in Washington, where you were always able to say, there's one missing piece. If he had that defense, if he had one more piece on the line. He had the receivers here, which is why he was helped with those numbers.
Why he put those numbers up. Yeah, he was pathetic last night. There's no other way to put it. He was pathetic
last
night.
It was sad.
He was awful.
He went there to deliver a Super Bowl and willingly did it. And at the time, none of us would have said, I'm critical of him. I think Alex Smith is actually a better quarterback than he is. But I always thought that Kirk Cousins was between 10 and 15. And that if all things broke right, he could get you there.
He could
get you there. But this year, their defense isn't particularly good, and he can't get you there. And the most amazing thing now to me is that somebody, and it may very well be Minnesota, somebody's going to get into the wild card with seven losses. And the Redskins are in it.
They're in it. Minnesota's got three games left. They play Chicago, they play Detroit, and I can't remember.
That's hard.
I can't remember. There's two at home and one on the road.
They have Dolphins next week.
The Dolphins, who just want to. I mean, I don't know.
They're
if
not winning again.
Maybe not. But if Minnesota loses one game out of those three, and Washington somehow, I know it's unlikely, but if they somehow won their last three games,
Josh Johnson to the
Washington
rescue, baby.
In Minnesota
they're in.
Out.
They're in.
Somebody.
The Eagles are in.
Can't
and six and seven. Carolina, which has not won a game in four years, they're still in it.
They got the tiebreaker with Carolina.
Yes,
they beat Carolina.
And they got it with Green Bay.
And they got it with Green Bay. They beat Green Bay.
They could end
they're
up.
In.
It's just they're terrible.
One Minnesota loss and three Redskins wins. They're
but
in.
Somebody tweeted out last night, and I'll now steal it for the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. Just come on, Washington. Wow. Do you really want the Redskins in the playoffs?
I did that.
Did you?
That was my tweet.
Was
my tweet was, "Do you really want them in?" No.
Their games now. Their games.
Late.
Not unwinnable. Late. They're at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a bad team.
Tennessee.
They're at Tennessee. Tennessee's it's a winnable game. They wouldn't be favored.
Right.
And then they have the Eagles at home when it might not count for anything.
Yeah, but the Eagles might. I mean,
and the Eagles aren't any
the
good.
The Eagles are not good.
No. Yeah, they're not good at all.
So this is it's.
It's a weird season,
it's very
right?
Weird. It's very weird.
You've got some great flashes of brilliance, but then overall you seem to have.
You could get a 500 team.
Oh, sure.
In the
eight
playoffs.
8-8.
In the playoffs. And at the beginning of this year, you looked at the NFC and thought it's much better than the AFC.
Yes.
Much better. And there's eight teams.
Yes.
And they've all
been terrible.
Cratered. They've all cratered. Yeah.
So we get upset with those ties, but looking at that second game of the season for Minnesota, Green Bay, divisional game.
Helps them.
Look how it comes back to play at the end
it
of the season.
It because helps of, Pittsburgh.
Because of a terrible call by the referee.
Yeah. Otherwise, Pittsburgh
tie. They would have lost that game.
The Pittsburgh tie helps
And the Redskins would still control their own destiny if not for that awful call in week two.
The Redskins are terrible.
They really are.
This was their plan. Now look like, according to David, the favorites.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying it's preposterous that they still are in this thing, but they really are still in this thing.
We'll take a break. We'll talk more about football when we return with Jason Lockenfora. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the 23andMe ad. Now through December 25th, that's a couple of weeks, the 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family's story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up our DNA. 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes more than 90 personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights on what makes you unique, and it's easy to do. This is the gicky part, but it's not that hard.
You
simply
part?
Gicky. Gicky. You simply G-I-C-K-K-K-K-Y.
Okay.
You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks you receive your personalized online reports. The Ancestry Composition Report with 23andMe's Ancestry Composition, you can explore where your DNA is from out of 150-plus regions worldwide. There's muscle composition. Do you have the genetic muscle composition common in elite power athletes? In other words, are you related to LeBron James? Studies have found that almost all elite power athletes have a specific genetic variant in a gene related to muscle composition.
You have this one.
I may have this one, but it doesn't help me at all. Your sleep movement. Do your arms and legs twitch while you're sleeping? With 23andMe's sleep movement report, you can discover how your genetics may be influencing how much you move your arms and legs during sleep. Notice they say may. May and may not. You know,
may not.
Your cilantro taste
aversion.
We'll
see what happens.
This is small. I mean, of the 90-plus, you know, cilantro taste aversion, it's not in my top 10. Many people dislike cilantro, describing the taste as soapy. Do you have the genetic markers associated with this aversion? This is one of my favorites. Mosquito bite frequency. Some people may feel they get more mosquito bites than the people around them. So what makes some people more attractive to mosquitoes than others? Genetics may be partly to blame. Now through December 25th, get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andme.com/Tony. That's the numbers 23andme. 23andme.com/Tony. Again, that's 23andme.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent in over the transom. And the note says, I've heard Tony's undying love for the Spotify ad, so I'll keep it short. My artist name is Newport Beach Racquet Club. This song is called Venice of the Far East. You can download it and other slightly more mediocre songs on Bandcamp. My music is also streaming on Spotify and whatever the heck Deezer is.
Got a little Simon Garfunkel feel to it.
Yeah, nice. Feel free to download all my stuff for free. I don't care. I just enjoy the idea of people hearing my music and maybe even saying nice things about it. Again, this is Newport Beach Racquet Club. Wilbon always talks about Newport Beach because I think Kobe belongs
Kobe
there.
Kobe lives there.
And he played golf there in some place in Newport Beach.
Yeah, Richie Rich.
Yeah, Wilbon, very excited. Jason Lockenfora of CBS joins us now, and it's time for NFL Cleanup, sponsored by the Purell brand, the new Purell single. So Jason is back on the sponsorship thing. I understand your furnace is broken, but how's the dog?
The dog is well. The dog was nice and warm last night. Snuggled up with me by next to the fire. So, no, all good here, Tony. I guess it's cleanup on aisle 8, huh? With Kirk Cousins there in the Minnesota Vikings. If it's NFL cleanup.
Big spillage
in Minneapolis.
Well, we talked about this at the beginning of the show. I listed 13 quarterbacks that I know are better than him and maybe five others, and he makes the most money, and he's brought in there to get to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. Do you have any great insight or thoughts about this? Because he has not performed near to the... He hasn't been as good as Case Keenum was last year, unless I'm wrong.
No, it's very... I mean, I broke down the stats a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, it was essentially the same guy. Cousins had, like, a few more touchdowns, but the QB rating was essentially the same. Mm-hmm. The completion percentage was essentially the same. And I guess what's not in the quarter... themselves is just sort of the way the offense looks and feels. Yeah. And last year they had Rudolph could beat you one game and Thielen could beat you the next game and Diggs could beat you the next game.
Right.
You know, and they might get it done with the ground game the week after that. And when they win this year, it's because he force-fed Thielen the ball, you know, 15 times. And the tight end never really makes any plays. And Diggs shows up far less frequently. And they haven't figured out a way to stay balanced and run the ball. And to your point, there's, you know, $84 million invested in the quarterback this year, fully guaranteed. They had Case Keenum 1 year, $2 million last year.
Yeah.
And I really thought through the course of that season they had numerous times to extend Keenum. And not that you couldn't bring in competition for him, but you could have bought very low on him at the middle of the season when it was clear he was your guy and Bridgewater was not going to play meaningful games for you. And I always thought that was a tactical error on their point. Not that Keenum would necessarily be, you know, infinitely better, but you could move off of him very quickly during this window, which they clearly think is 3 years. That's the length of Cousins' contract. They should be better than this. There'll probably be a lot of people at the end of the season who kind of, I guess, carry the weight, starting with their offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, who
came over from the Eagles, right?
Yeah, and they let him make a lateral move, and numerous organizations over time have sort of allowed him to leave their franchise for essentially lateral moves elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I'm supposed to believe that he's one of the brightest offensive minds in football, and he's the go-to it coordinator this year for head coaching jobs. He has plenty of buddies in the media who he's been a skeptic, and I think this year you know, he and Cousins are going to be in an awkward situation at the end of the year where I don't think Cousins is going anywhere, but he might be working with somebody else next year. And that's not what you think of with an $84 million quarterback. You should think he's fairly plug and play, and you don't have to keep swapping out coordinators, and he's going to be good enough to at least get us to the playoffs in a year when some incredibly warped, quasi-pathetic NFC team is going to get that sixth seed.
The Redskins! We were just talking about this. The Redskins are in it. They're in
they're
it.
They're, like, really in it.
Yeah, because they have tiebreakers over Carolina and Green Bay. It's unbelievable. There's going
to
be
Josh Johnson, baby. He's here to save the day. He's going to get it done.
So I said this the other day. I'd never heard of Josh Johnson.
You don't remember him from Tampa Bay?
I don't remember him at all. What I remember vaguely is this, that I think Phoenix at number 7 once picked Josh Johnson in the NBA. And I just... I had never heard, and he'd been in the league
Josh
a long
Jackson,
time,
but that's
and they're still, you know, they're still in it. They are, and they're terrible.
Yeah,
I think a week from now, though, Tom, we probably won't be saying that. I don't think they're getting off the mat.
It's
you know, the Redskins and the Bengals, I don't think they're winning until sometime in 2019.
All right, so let me go through a couple of things that were eye-opening for me. And ultimately, I'm going to get to your comments for weeks and weeks and weeks that John Harbaugh was out because that game, Kansas City-Baltimore, was the best game on the best weekend of the year. That was the best game. But let me start with the Raiders firing their GM. What? Did the Raiders, the GM, could not have traded Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper without the coach saying, I want to get rid of Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. Why'd they fire their GM?
The real question is, going back to when Gruden was hired and why didn't they make big changes then? Because he had told a lot of people around the league and was sort of lining up potential hires then. And then he had so much other stuff on his plate that he kind of was like, okay, well, I'm going to punt on that for now because I can jump in here, you know, and I can lead the draft and I can figure out, you know, a lot of the strategy for what we should do. And, you know, I'll be the guy to trade a third-round pick for Martavis Bryant. Yeah, that happened. And now, you know, it was kind of the worst-kept secret in the league that this was going to happen, and I had heard several weeks ago that in no uncertain terms, there was going to be sweeping changes in that front office, and I continue to make calls on that. And I reported Sunday that Reggie McKenzie was not going to be with the team, and he was going to be relieved of his duties as soon as the season ended. And then I think there was a conversation where Reggie went in and said, hey, is that report accurate? And they said, yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm just going to go now if that's okay. And they said, yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, John Gruden was always going to stock that organization from head to toe, from the guy who hands out the juice boxes to the guy who hands out the cleats to the guy who helps him pick players. We're all going to be his guys.
Yeah.
And the moment you heard Mark Davis and John Gruden talk about how weak the last few drafts were before he got there, the die was cast.
Okay. All right. Let me move to something else. Joe Philbin, the new current coach of the Green Bay Packers, used up two challenges in a minute and a half, leaving him with no challenges for 58 and a half minutes, leaving me to write, what a bozo. By the end of the game, Aaron Rodgers personally presented him with the game ball, an indication of one of two or both things. One, that the liberation from Mike McCarthy makes Rodgers ecstatic, and two, that he might actually think that Joe Philbin is the answer for him. What do you make of that?
I think you could be right on both parts. And you talked about the Redskins and where they're sitting. The Packers, I mean, who again fired their coach in damn near November, which is, you know, the least Packer thing in the history of the NFL.
Yes.
They're sitting there very much alive with a quarterback who seems complete. Like, that was one of my locks of the week, because I'm like, Aaron Rodgers, after looking like a disinterested Cavalier Jay Cutler impersonator the week before, now all of a sudden is going to come out like, oh, watch what I can do now that I'm unencumbered and I no longer have the burden of Mike McCarthy dragging me down. And if you think, you know, Joe Philbin's an innovative offensive mind, then, again, I'll just point to he was out of challenges 83 seconds into the game.
Yes, yes.
I don't think he's, you know, going to go down as one of the great fakers in NFL history. But could this whole thing work in Philbin's benefit? Crazier things have happened, because the sense I get and have for weeks now is that the Green Bay Packers aren't looking to necessarily hire a strong-willed guy to come in with a bunch of rings of his own and tell them how to do things. I think Mark Murphy very much wants somebody who's very happy to work for Mark Murphy and won't ask a lot of questions about their kind of weird, awkward front office structure and will just, you know, keep Aaron happy and let him sling it around and win some football games. And Joe Philbin would check all those boxes.
Are you still sure that John Harbaugh is out at Baltimore with the resurgence with Lamar Jackson?
Things are where they were when I reported it, which was he was not going to do another one-year extension. Him coaching out a lame duck year is untenable, because if that happens, he's going to leave in 2020. And that the Ravens have made no attempts to extend him. So the only way he stays is if Steve Bisciotti pays him a five-year, $50 million-ish contract, because that's what the market will bear, and may have to be willing to talk about how decisions are made there. And with no more Ozzie Newsome, what does that mean for John Harbaugh? And all those sort of tenets are still there, and nothing has changed from their bye week in terms of where any of those things stand, and my reporting on all that holds up. And Bisciotti's going to have to decide what he's willing to do in January, whether this team is 8-8 and out of it, or 9-7 and in it, or 9-7 and, you know, missing out on tiebreakers or whatever. This was going to be a moment where he had to decide, okay, the way I sort of announced everything last year, and there's going to be this GM change, and here's how, you know, the Ravens are always structured. Is that, in fact, how we're going to be structured? And am I willing to make my coach once again, you know, among the three or four highest paid in the game? Because I can assure you there are plenty of teams just waiting to throw that contract at John Harbaugh.
There are a lot of teams now that are losing and losing and losing. They're going the wrong way. Chief among them to me is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going the wrong way. And I know they lost the game to Oakland, but Roethlisberger almost did it again. He threw a pass at the goal line where you go, oh, my God, how can you throw that 2 weeks in a row? Is something significantly wrong with that team? Because they host the Patriots this Sunday, and the Patriots, they're 99.99999 chances in 1,000 or in 100 – they're going to win. They're going to beat Miami. So they've got to be so angry about that. I think if Pittsburgh is, in fact, in trouble, the Patriots will win that game, you know, in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers have been a team that generally will play down to the level of competition and then snap back out of it and sort of galvanize and say, oh, that's not who we are, and then find a way to win that division. They play the Saints after that, and then they finish with the Bengals. It's hard to fathom them laying down in Week 17 to the degree they'd have to lose to this Bengals team that's playing out the string with Jeff Driscoll and, you know, a bunch of guys pretending to be A.J. Green. But I don't know, Tone. The next 2 weeks are very difficult. And to your point, you know, hell hath no fury like Brady and Belichick scoring. Yeah. And if you saw their faces walking off the field in Miami, you knew that next week's game could not come quickly enough for them. I don't know what to make of the Steelers right now. this is the better part of a month where they've basically had games won that they've handed away, or they've, you know, waited too long to get into games after sort of sleepwalking through them. I still think they kind of win that division and find a way to win two of these three games, but I could be completely wrong.
Well, that's,
you know,
the big
Baltimore
game.
Baltimore plays Tampa this week, you know, and their problem will be a lot of the wild card things won't work in their favor. I mean, in that building, the sense is we better win this division or we're probably going to be on the outside looking in.
Yeah,
it's very interesting how the playoff structure is going to come together. I mean, that just for argument's sake, Kansas City was playing contemporaneously with New England. Kansas City could easily have lost that game, especially goes into overtime. Yeah. You can lose that game. Mm-hmm. New England cannot lose to Miami because they're just impossible to lose to Miami. And if it comes out that way, New England has home field all the way through the playoffs.
Right.
And it doesn't come through that way. All right, your podcast. Plug your podcast for us.
Yeah, Tone, the Be More Opinionated podcast this week. Jerry Coleman and I will be talking about the way the Ravens lost that game, why I know I believe sticking with Lamar Jackson is the only thing that makes any sense and gives the Ravens any sense of a fighting chance.
Hope he can hold on to the football. He's fumbled eight times.
Yeah, ball control, get the run game going. People can't stop their RPOs. They run for 2-7 a carry. When Joe Flacco's under center, they're very predictable that way. So we'll discuss that. We'll talk about the Orioles. Uh-oh.
Ooh.
We got a guy here. Fix up the furnace.
Go ahead.
Boy.
Goodbye.
Hey, Copperhead, let that man do his work. Oh, come on now.
Goodbye.
And, we'll talk about the O's and everything else, and I'm going to go check on the furnace. Thanks, Tone.
Jason Lock and Fora, boys and girls. The most fun in the world. Let's hope that. Dog sounded good.
Sounded like Copper. Back in the pink.
Copper sounded good. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We will come back with news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the second half of the Purell ad that sponsors Jason. Cold and flu season is here just in time for the holidays, no less. We're traveling more, catching up with friends and family, the whole nine yards. And when we're connecting with so many people every day, it's easy to spread these seasonal illnesses. And that's why I use Purell products, including the new Purell Singles hand sanitizer packets. These new single-use packets are super portable, super convenient, and they kill more than 99.99% of most common germs that can make you sick. Purell is the brand that hospitals trust to keep patients safe from infection, and the same germ-fighting formula that doctors use goes into every Purell Singles packet. But here's the best part. They go everywhere. Take a handful. Keep them in the car. Throw them in your pocket before you leave home. They're individually sealed. There's no mess, and each packet has the exact amount of sanitizer recommended by the CDC, and who knows more about cold and flu season than the CDC. So as we head into the busiest time of the year, do yourself a favor and stock up on new Purell Singles hand sanitizer packets on Amazon. They can help you avoid getting sick and get the most out of every day. Your well-being is important. Protected with America's number one hand sanitizer brand. Don't forget, get your Purell Singles on Amazon today.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's enough to make an apple pie appear within my mind. My brother is finally losing his hair.
This is sent in by Mark Baseman, it's a song called My Brother Makes Me Happy. I've been going bald since high school, but my brother's always had a full head of hair. Now in his mid-30s, it's finally starting to go, and it's wonderful. As you can probably tell, I don't have a band. I make my music alone in my home in secret. My music isn't for sale or available anywhere, thanks. And he bills himself as the official Tampa-based divorce attorney of the Tony Kornheiser Show. Michael, if people like Mark Baseman, who we love, if people like Mark Baseman
fueled
want
to by rage.
Send in their original music and get it played on this high-quality podcast, how do they do it?
I just wanted to let that music run uninterrupted for another moment. Please send us your music. Email it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
Are we selling anything?
Yes. If you happen to have a broken furnace at home and it was a little cold overnight, go check out shop.tonykornheisershow.com where you can get the official TK Show knit winter hat and hooded sweatshirt. And while you're looking for holiday gifts, go to johnnyo.com, type in the promo code TKGIFT, and go check out the Barrett striped
I got
polo
a shirt.
David
got a shirt.
Mr. Aldridge is going to be rocking the Mashy Prep-formance shirt.
There you go. There
and
you go.
Also go check out the Sully. It's a great midweight pullover for those holiday parties.
And if you're looking to throw money down a hole, buy a gift card to Chatter.
Yes.
You know, that'll make us very
happy.
They're
nice. The actual card is quite nice.
Very nice.
Gotten
so we're happy to do it. We have news, and Nigel has news.
Yes, I do indeed, Mr. Tony. We start off with the association. The Wizards are down by 26 at one point.
Yeah.
Went on a 19-0 run. I actually tuned in the middle of that. I was like, oh, good lord.
I didn't know they were on.
Yes, but they came up short. They fall to the Indiana Pacers 109-101.
They didn't have John Wall did not play, although Oladipo didn't play for Indiana.
That's correct.
So that cancels that. And but Howard, not Otto Porter.
Technically played.
What happened? Did he get hurt?
He got hurt.
Yeah, must have seven minutes, no points.
Is it a serious hurt?
I don't know. I don't think it is, but I don't know.
They're a bad team. I don't think this comes as a shock to anybody. Mm-hmm. They're good enough to make the playoffs, but they're not a good team.
11-16 right now.
No, that's, you know, yeah. They're not a good team.
Plenty of time.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I think they'll make the playoffs.
Big game out west. The Lakers. They seem to be better this year. What did they change on their team this year?
The answer to all your questions is LeBron. This is why the other day I sat here and then sat on PTI and I said about Magic Johnson and Kobe Bryant, what are you criticizing this guy for?
Right.
This guy is the team.
Yes.
He's the team.
Yes.
So they played. So for the last time ever, unless Dwayne Wade unretires again, for the last time ever, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James faced each other. I'm glad to have David here because they're clearly Hall of Famers. But I would say this, in a historical context,
yes,
the Miami Heat team is one of the most important teams of all time because of how they came together. That changed the league.
I think so. Yes. That was the Rubicon of NBA players figuring out that they could play with whoever they wanted to play with. And that's what's happened ever since, is that guys play with whoever they want to play with. And the teams have no power anymore to determine where people play. It's the players. The players say, I want to play with that guy and that guy, or I don't want to play with that guy, so I'm going to go over here. And it's completely changed how free agency works now in the NBA.
Is it good for the sport?
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's fine for the sport.
Seems okay.
I don't have a problem with it.
You can't say shut up and sit down anymore. You just can't say it.
Yeah, I mean,
they have power.
Guys will structure their contracts so that they expire and to the point where they can go play with whoever they want to play with. And I have no problem with that because the NBA, much more than any other sport, in my opinion, is all about the players. It's about the guys on the court. And they control the show, and people pay to see them. They don't pay to see laundry, as Jerry Seinfeld famously said about football. You root for laundry. You don't root for people. He's right. You don't know who's in the uniform. You're just rooting for the uniform. So, but in the NBA, you're rooting for people. You're rooting for LeBron or KD or Steph Curry or whoever it is. So they have figured it out.
LeBron is the guy who did that. LeBron did it.
Yeah.
So that he's not only a great player, he has historic importance in the league. And now he's in the Lakers, and the Lakers, you know, I believe the Lakers will make the playoffs. I said they were going to win 50. I may be wrong about 50, but LeBron changes everything on every team that he plays on. He changes everything and always changes it in the middle of the season as well, and he gets pretty much what he wants. And to David's point about players having power, Chicago has a new coach.
Woo!
Somebody named Jim or Joe Boylan.
Jimmy Boylan.
Okay. Jim Boylan. He's one of their two Jim Boylans who are
There's
out there.
There's multiple Boylans.
There's
in
a
the
bunch
NBA.
Of Boylans.
I'll take Boylans.
So he got in there. They fired Fred Hoiberg.
That's probably right.
Okay.
How's it started off for him out there?
They fired Fred Hoiberg, and Jim Boylan came in and flexed his significant muscle. And then Chicago laid down like dogs. And they lost by 56 points, which is not possible.
If you had Chicago in 55, you lost.
It's not possible to lose by 56 points to Boston. And they lost at home by 56 points to Boston. And the next day, the players said, we're not coming in. The next day was mutiny on the balcony.
We said we're practicing tomorrow. And they said, No,
we're not going to practice.
Not really.
So when Boylan is interviewed, he says, look, this is, you know, they lost last night, died in the second half, lost at minus 30 in the second half. They don't want Mr. Boylan. This is the most interesting thing about this is there are no stars on the Chicago Bulls.
That is correct.
There's nobody that a bunch of people pay to see.
That's right.
If this were Magic Johnson, because this actually happened, Magic Johnson went to Jerry Buss and said to Paul Westhead, get him out of here today.
Him or me.
Today. And what happened, David?
Paul. Bye, Paul.
Paul, you got a second?
Today.
Paul, why don't we take a walk?
That would be defending NBA champion, Paul Westhead, by the way.
Defending NBA champion. And Magic Johnson said, today.
Leave.
And that was it. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Bulls, they don't have that guy.
No,
they don't have anybody like that. But they got enough people that it is conceivable that they could say, hey, hey, we're not playing for this fella.
Yeah.
We're not playing for this fella. That's it. We're done.
Yeah. Jim Boylan, who is a good guy, Marquette guy, I like Jim Boylan a lot, and he's a good coach. But he made a tactical error, as we'll call it, when he said, well, Greg Popovich would have his guys practice after a bad loss like that. Yeah.
Five rings. What's the difference?
What's different?
Put your hand up. Yes. Popovich has five.
Other than the fact that you have none. Yes, yeah. Other than the fact that Popovich is also a human being on planet Earth, you don't share anything in common with him.
That video of Popovich on the Riverwalk going, one, two, three, four. No, five, right. Five.
Respect.
That trumps everything.
Respect. Yes. So I don't know what the... Forget the long-term future, Mr. Boylan. I don't know what the short-term...
They got to finish the season. He probably will not be the coach next year. And again, this is not about... It's just bad circumstance and Jimmy coming in. And I know what he was trying to do, which is we got to get in better shape, which they probably do, Tony. They probably do. And we got to play harder, and they probably do. But it's just the way it was kind of rolled out was not good.
And it can't happen in the other sports because the other sports have more people than 12 people.
That's right. That's why
basketball is different. Yeah. In that locker room, you can rise or fall in a day.
Sure.
In a day.
The great Chuck Daly used to always say, the players either allow you to coach them or they do not.
That's right.
Right.
You know? That's right. And again, it's not a helmet league. It's not a hat league.
Yeah.
You see them. You know who they are. You build your attachments very personally in basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that does not look promising.
No, that's not good. That's not good. And they are not a good team, to your point. I mean, this is not,
well, there is,
Warriors.
There are a couple of rumors swirling around that Dale Norman apparently is going to be the new head coach.
Yeah,
Jimmy Chitwood apparently
known as a disciplinarian.
Yes, it's the five Pistons. That's what he's looking for.
Do you have other news, or can I bring up this thing I wanted to bring up about.
Your show.
We forgot to do this yesterday. I just want to say a happy birthday, belated happy birthday to Kirk Douglas, who is
102.
And his wife, Anne, who he likes to call Jailbait, 99 years old.
Wow.
They celebrated with Catherine Zeta-Jones and, of course,
and their son, Michael.
Yes. Believe the meal was pudding. I'm not sure.
Well,
but congratulations.
So I wanted to say this because I found out about this yesterday, and it is stunning to me. This is from a local standpoint. I grant you, it's stunning to me. The Washington Redskins played the New York Giants in the early game on Sunday.
I was there, Tom.
This is a traditional...
Still hasn't recovered.
Traditional rivalry. Yeah. This is a real big deal. When you play in the division, this was, for many, many years, the greatest division in all of sports.
Mm-hmm.
It was. That game on television, in the Washington area, where it used to get 60 and 70 share
mm-hmm.
when you were a kid.
Massive ratings.
60 and 70 just share.
Dominate.
The kind of share that the Denver Broncos always got in Denver when they didn't have other teams.
That's right.
They got a 60 and 70 share here. You could never get a ticket to these games.
Nope.
You watched them on TV. You were lucky. There was never a question that the games wouldn't be sold out. The games were sold out for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Got a 14 share in the local market. The late afternoon game, the Cowboys and the Eagles, another very important divisional game
Correct.
To the Washington Redskins fan base. It's important. But it's not the Washington Redskins. That got an 18. That outrated the hated and despised Dallas Cowboys,
mm-hmm.
outrated the home team game in division.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, they're not playing Tennessee.
Big game.
You know.
And it was a big game.
Yes.
People couldn't watch the game on TV because they were too busy watching the live feeds of social media of fans streaming out of the stadium at halftime.
What does this? What does this say?
No.
You grew up here.
I did. Well,
can you ever have imagined this?
No. And it just tells you how utterly dysfunctional this franchise has become and how people have voted with their feet and with their remotes.
And half the people in the stadium are Giants fans.
Yeah, it was.
Certainly all at the
it
end.
It was, yeah. I mean, it wasn't as bad, actually, as some games have been this year, where it seemed like they were on the road. I mean, there was a lot of Giants fans there, but it was, I mean, personally, I thought the Atlanta game, it felt like we were in Atlanta. I mean, it was weird.
But the Redskins fans that were there were booing.
Well, yes.
Lustily, as
with
they
cause.
Said.
With cause. As they watched, you know, Mark Sanchez literally try to dig a hole in the ground that he could jump into. It was just
Have they
awful.
Lost? Have they lost what they were?
Yes.
Yes.
It's done?
Gone. Over. Done. Yes. Gone. It's a whole generation, Tony, of people who are 35 and younger that have never seen them win anything.
This particular example deserves more exploration just because it shows a trend towards willing to give up your local game to watch a game that actually has playoff implications. I know the Redskins technically still are in it, but a game that's meaningful to the league at large. And also here locally, you have a population where Dallas has always had a special place, even the hated Dallas
yes,
Cowboys,
right.
yeah.
based,
People
on, the,
watched.
Based
yes.
on the construction issues that the Redskins had for many years and how a segment of our population turned to Dallas and never gave up that connection.
I think there's been a tilt, though. I think it goes beyond, oh, we're just not interested in the Redskins anymore because they're not winning. I think there's a growing hatred and resentment.
Animus. Oh,
yes.
There's animus.
Oh,
yes.
Sure, absolutely.
I do.
Oh, yes. Yes, no, absolutely.
I do. I've been here basically 40 years. Mm-hmm. When I came here from New York, I couldn't believe the hold this one team had on this particular city.
It's remarkable.
Yeah. And I believe that to be true up until about 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm.
And this year, for the first time, you didn't just see empty seats. You saw yeah. oceans of yeah. empty seats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's been every game. That was
yes.
starting with the first home game. After they were 1-0 after a good win.
Arizona.
Right. And there was nobody in the stadium.
Amazing. Yeah.
All right, so Dan Snyder is seeing all this. I mean, he's seeing all this information.
Sure.
He sees the result, you sure. know, on the field and everything. What does he do? What
well,
he can he do?
Sell.
No, he's not going to sell. But what's
selling? It's the same thing he's done for the last 5 years. You get rid of more seats. You turn them into party decks. You right. you create more. Just
yeah, but that
you eventually
shrink the stadium.
7,000 seats.
Right. 5 seats in the stadium and sell a soccer game.
Not a sellout. But I mean, is there a path back for that team to get back into the hearts of this town?
Sure, but it involves a lot of people leaving.
Yeah.
Probably including him.
Yeah, a lot of people leaving.
Name changes and a move to D.C. brings a lot of people back.
Yeah, you right. get that stadium there.
Yeah.
You get that stadium there. It's a big deal. Yeah. All right, we will take a break. Old Guy Radio, when we return, I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the bespoke post ad. You know what's in this holiday season? Selfishness. Why buy an ugly sweater for a distant uncle when you can buy some awesome for yourself? Specifically, Bespoke Post Box of Awesome. A box of awesome is my favorite way to treat myself every month. I got a box of this stuff. The stuff's lovely.
It's great.
I got it. I enjoyed it. It's not anything that I would go buy in a store. I depend on Michael to sort of get it. But much of it is, wow, you know, I could use that.
So they let
that
you,
looks pretty
they let
nice.
You choose themes, and we were focusing on cookware and barware. So a lot of these are add-ons that you wouldn't necessarily go out, you know, on an errand to pick up, but you're happy to get them. Like, I got this great Dutch oven,
yeah.
a small cast iron
cool.
Dutch oven.
Yeah, so you get things that you wouldn't ordinarily buy for yourself. Visit boxofawesome.com. Answer a few short questions that will help them determine the boxes that fit you best. Each box goes for under $50, but has more than $70 worth of unique gear waiting inside for you. The first of each month, you will receive an email with your box details. If you're not feeling that month's box, you skip it. From barrel aging kits to limited edition cigars, weekender bags, classy dop kits, Bespoke Post offers essential goods and guidance for the modern man. To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter code Tony at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code Tony for 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post, themes boxes for guys who give a damn. It says that give a damn, but they're meant to say who.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day, The Marvelettes, and Please, Mr. Postman. Why are we playing this, other than the fact that it's great?
It's a great mm-hmm. song. Because on this date, in 1961, this is the debut
57 years ago.
This is the debut single for The Marvelettes. This song hit number one, and it was the first number one hit for what was then known as Tamla Records, but eventually became Motown Records. Mm-hmm.
Tamla, Smokey Robinson recorded on Tamla.
Mm-hmm.
Down.
Now, do you know who plays drums in the accompaniment for this?
Ringo Starr.
How about a little guy named Marvin Gaye?
Marvin Gaye plays drums. You know, my next guest was going to be Quincy Jones.
Oh, sure.
You know, because sure. I think that might have been possible. Marvin Gaye's playing the drums on this.
Wow. Yes.
It's great, too.
And by the way, the Beatles, who did cover a lot of stuff, did a great version of this. But this is brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic song. That's a very good choice. All right, so I want to start out with a personal thing. I went to register my car. I got to... In the District of Columbia, you get a notice by mail that you have to re-register your car, and they ask you to send in money for either 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. And I always send in for 1 year because you never know what you're going to do with a car. Right. Yeah. Because you never
always
know.
Two.
I always do two.
Okay,
two.
I do one. So for 100 years, you would send in $115, and it would say $115. So I wrote a check. My car expires. The registration expires in about 5 or 6 days. But I wrote a check. 3 or 4 weeks ago, okay. I wrote a check for $115. I got it back last night.
Uh-oh.
I didn't include enough money, and I didn't. I missed it. There was a $35
inspection fee. Yes.
I didn't even see that.
Right.
Because I'm so used to writing a check for $115,
right.
They returned it to me with my check, and now they say... Now you have to go down to...
$150 now, right?
Well, it's... Yeah, but that's okay. But I have to physically...
Oh, you have to go in there?
Well, I have to go to the one in Georgetown, I think. Or they say... And that's why I'm going to sketch this out. They say that I can somehow do this online.
Of course you can do it online.
How do you do it?
You give them your credit
card. You ask Michael
card.
To help you.
Yeah.
You give them your credit card. I don't have to write a check.
I'm sure you can give them your credit
card. No, yes. I just renewed my registration, did it online. It takes
Because I know what happens. When you go down there, it's always 2 hours because there's only one clerk. And well, there's 100 people.
But they tell you specifically that you can't go into the building to get this thing done.
No, I can't.
That was in the letter I got. They told me I could go down.
You're a wanted felon. That's a different deal.
No, they said I could go down to a site or I could do it online, but I don't know how to do it.
I'll manage this online. Avoid the Georgetown DMV at all costs.
Yes. Yeah.
I will not have one of the necessary pieces of ID.
Yeah. Well, they said I need to prove my ID, too. Which I was my driver's license would
proof
prove.
Of residence.
You want to get this done though?
Utility. Bill.
I do.
Many years ago, I did not get the new tag, the new little tag for my car.
Yeah.
And driving around. Well, I wasn't driving around. This was pre-Brian. This was a former boyfriend.
Yeah.
And it's a Friday afternoon late in the summer. It was hot. It was late in the month, which is a key point here. And he was going to drop me off somewhere, but it was my car, so he was driving. And we're down there by the Lincoln Memorial and get pulled over. Rush hour traffic, get pulled over by a big cop
because
the tag was expired.
Yeah, that's what
So the guy starts, and the person driving, he whose name should not be mentioned, is just kind of looking at the guy going, really? And I'm trying to lean over him going, it's my fault. I didn't get the thing. I'm so sorry. And the cop did not like what he whose name should not be mentioned was saying or not saying. Says, get out of the car. So he gets him out of the car and starts giving him a hard time. And again, I'm saying, it's my fault. Please. I'm climbing over the steering wheel. He goes, you, sit down. It's like, okay. So I sat down. And then he starts giving my friends a hard time about his driver's license, which was from Oregon. And Oregon driver licenses are weird. So then my friend starts to just give him a little bit of lip. Not a lot.
Right.
Like
it's a mistake.
You know, gives him a little bit of lip. And the guy goes, all right, I'm going to have to take you down to the station.
Oh,
wait. Lord. Gets worse. And my friend, okay, his name is Lauren, says, no, I don't want to go down to the station. The guy spins him around, puts the cuffs on him, and drags him away.
Wow. Okay,
takes
so
you're
good because you can drive the car.
I did.
Now you're free to go.
And I'm kind of looking at him going, boy, I got things to do, but okay. So now it's 5:30, 6 o'clock on a Friday, and it was really hot, and the air conditioning did not work in this car. And I've got to go find him which slammer he's in, which is not easy, by the way, and this is before cell phones. But I find him, and it's some weird little holding place they have down near Haynes Point. And my friend Lauren is standing there, and they're processing him. And it was just like a scene from Law & Order.
Wow.
And they're taking his stuff and his wallet. And the guy behind the bulletproof glass says to him, are you depressed? And Lauren goes, what? And the guy goes, are you depressed? And Lauren goes, yeah, I'd rather not be here. Give me your shoelaces.
Oh, sure, and your belt.
Oh, sure.
Shoelaces and belt. Took them from him.
He would hang himself?
Puts him in the cell.
On a traffic violation.
And then I find out I've got to get
five. Not even his car.
I've got to get $500 in cash to bail him out.
He's
young.
Not worth that.
I am poor. I don't have $500. And there was not $500 in my bank account.
No.
So I had to wander around town for the next 2 or 3 hours finding friends going, give me $30, give me $50.
Oh, good Lord.
Didn't get him out till midnight.
Oh.
That ended that romance.
Yeah, that was
it?
The last day.
Actually, not. Maybe a couple
brought
weeks
you
later.
Closer together.
But get that tag renewed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've got...
Or someone you care about will be taken to the clink.
What I've got is I've got the paperwork in my glove compartment so that if anyone stops me, I can say, look, I got this back. I haven't had time to do it yet. I'm on
okay,
it.
Just be really respectful
no,
of
I'm
the
on
guy.
It. And yeah. I don't fool around with that.
I always thought the line to a police officer was, is that your bag of cash? Because it's not mine. Yeah. Must be yours, sir.
So let me start with something here. Sort of sneaking under the cover of darkness, two people were voted into the Hall of Fame the other day.
Oh, yes.
The only Hall of Fame that really matters, except, well, David's Hall of Fame matters.
Yes. No.
But the baseball
but
Hall of Fame.
But your pal, Lee Smith.
Lee Smith. So Lee Smith and... This is a two-part story. Lee Smith and Harold Baines are voted in. The Harold Baines part is more important than the Lee Smith part, but you can, and this is the Veterans Committee, you can somehow make a case for Lee Smith. You can. Mm-hmm. Because when Lee Smith retired,
he had
more saves than anybody else. Now, nobody would put Lee Smith in the category of Dennis Eckersley or Mariano Rivera. That's they wouldn't, but you could make this case.
Sure.
Lee Smith holds a special place in my heart. Because Lee Smith, and I cannot use the exact language here, but I had a conversation when the Cubs lost to the San Diego Padres in 1984.
84.
That's right. 1984.
That's right.
Steve Garvey hit a home run.
That's right.
That ended the series and got the Padres for the first time ever to the World Series, and the Cubs went home. I was in Chicago the day the Cubs came home, and it was suggested to me, well, why don't you write a column about the Cubs? Because you're there. Why don't you write a column about the Cubs? I was on my way to the World Series, but I stopped in Chicago because everybody thought maybe it would be in Chicago.
Right,
so they didn't book passage to San Diego.
Right.
So I'm in Chicago. And I go into the locker room. And there's only one player there. There's Lee Smith is in the locker room. Lee Smith is completely naked. He's completely naked in the locker room. Completely naked.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a guy with him. Just some hang-around guy. It doesn't matter who it is. I walk over to Lee Smith, and I introduce myself. I have a notebook in my hand. I say, I am Tony Kornheiser of the Washington Post, and I'd like to talk with you. And he looks at this guy who's with him, and he says, can you believe the nerve of this? And then it's a hyphenated word. Can you believe that David knows this story? David's heard the tape. Can you believe the nerve of this blankety blank coming here, ask me for my autograph? I said, whoa, no. I didn't come in here to ask you for your autograph. I'm with the Washington Post. I came here to do a story. I came to do a story about what happened last night. He says, what happened last night? Ain't you got electricity in your building? And I say, no, I've got electricity in the building. That's how I know what happened last night. I just would like to ask you, you know, how do you feel? Do you feel dejected? And he turns to me. He puts his hand in a very, very sensitive area of his body. And he goes, dejected? Deject this. That, right, David? David? Wilbon knows this. Junior knows this. David knows this. I used to have a tape of this. This was on tape.
It was all on tape.
And at the end of deject this, there was that same repetitive hyphenated term. That's my one and only interview with now Hall of Famer Lee Smith.
And was that the whole interview?
I got what I came for. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I stayed in a clubhouse waiting for some other guys to show up.
So good.
So that's Lee Smith.
Was that part of the body of your work? I mean, the next day, did you reference that?
No. But everybody at the Post who I work with knows this story. This is a true, right?
This is true.
This is true.
Brilliant.
Okay, so then, now the other guy who gets in is the guy I have a problem with, Harold Baines.
Okay.
Harold Baines, a good baseball player. He's a very good baseball player. He's a 280 hitter, played 22 years. 280 hitter, 380 home runs, didn't have 400 home runs, didn't have 3,000 hits, very good player. Gets in on a veterans committee. Three guys on the veterans committee employed him.
Yeah.
Jerry Reinsdorf employed him. Tony La Russa managed him. Pat Gillick employed him. Pat Gillick was a general manager. Look, this is not the hall of the very good.
No,
yes.
This is the hall of fame.
That's right.
When he was eligible for the Baseball Writers of America, who watched him play, he never got more than 6.1% of the vote, and you need 75%.
Right.
So does it devalue? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would always say Tracy McGrady is a very good player. I don't think he's a Hall of Fame player.
I don't think so.
Either. I just don't. Wilbon says, how can you say that? I go, what? Because I don't. Because he never got to the second round.
Right.
Ever. Right. So he's not in the Hall of Fame. But he is in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, yes.
Harold Baines is in the. It's not. There's not going to be a plaque that says, we voted him in. We probably shouldn't have. Right. It's not going to be that plaque.
The thing, in like 10, what do you, 10 years, no one will remember
he's
that.
He's not.
No, I like Harold Baines. He's a nice fella, but no, I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
There's about 15 guys like Harold Baines.
Sure.
That are in the Hall of Fame that did it's again, it's I get, it's the Hall of Great.
I get Lee Smith because no, at the time, it's like Art Monk. At the time.
That's right. Sure. And he's still third all time on saves. Yeah,
that's
which
right.
Is,
oh, I get it.
You know.
That's I get
right.
That.
That's right.
Sure.
And I'm putting him in because I'm hoping that someday when at his induction ceremony this coming year,
right.
I hope he says, yeah, let me tell you a story about what happened to me.
By the way, don't you think, I mean, Mariano Rivera is up for it this year, right? Shouldn't this be the unanimous selection finally?
Or somebody will take it upon himself not to, but that's okay. He's getting it.
Yes. Somebody is a Hall of Fame cop. Right?
You know, that's and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's
if Who can Babe actually Bruce, argue against him, though?
Well, it's not the point. Somebody will say, hey, do me a favor. Just say no on him. And so we'll get in with 99 points. Tom Seaver that's got him. In, I think, yes. with one vote against. I mean, that's what happened. It's really okay. But it would be if Lee Smith
invites you to introduce him.
Completely.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
I mean,
great.
Naked. And I mean, awesome. This is a massive
guy. Big guy.
Lee Smith. So, anyway. Okay, that's my story for the day. We'll take a break. We will have, when we return.
Oh, yes, Mark Schaefer.
The Rev.
Yes, this one will make you weep. It's beautiful.
Oh, great. Yes. Great. And email when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Oh, here comes Tony's mailbag. We've got your emails and notes. It's Mr. Tony's mailbag. We'll read some for you folks. Well, maybe not your email. It's neither smart nor funny, nor is it a haiku.
That's great. That's American University's own Reverend Mark Schaefer, who writes, in keeping with the adage to keep it in your wheelhouse and stick with what you know, here's a mailbag jingle set to the tune of the traditional Christmas carol, Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming, and just in time for the holidays. That's beautiful. That's really nice. Thank you, Mark.
So good.
Let me thank Jason Lockenfour of CBS Sports for coming on the show. Let me thank today's sponsors, Purell, 23andMe, and Bespoke Post. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Jonathan Scriven in Nice in France, as someone with an actual doctorate degree, I'd like to weigh in on the is Quip an electric toothbrush debate. Your position is 100% right, and I couldn't agree with you more. Just because something has a battery doesn't mean it is classified as electric. My car has a battery. Is it an electric car? My watch has a battery, an electric watch. The remote control for my TV has a battery. Am I to refer to it as an electric remote control? So while you may be wrong on the whole science part of this debate, you're completely right on the common sense aspect of it. P.S. My doctorate is not a field even remotely related to science. So that's good to know. Jim Coughlin in Syracuse, New York.
Yay.
I too have a fascination. That's right. Who goes there? Your
Devin.
Daughter? Right. I too have a fascination with numbers and noticed something during the Syracuse-Georgetown game. With about 5 minutes left, I noticed that if SU won, both teams would have 7-2 records. I thought to myself, if SU gets to 72, they win. Final score, Syracuse 72, Georgetown 71.
Ooh.
Both teams are 7-2.
Wow.
Thanks for all the years of enjoyment. I've been a little long enough to refer to you as TK Stack Money when your street cred was more impressive than your titles. I look forward to many more years of the show, though I know every week may be the last. Yes, that's true. Andy from Marietta, who is a George Washington alum, right-handed left foot first, left, left, right, left, 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 20 minutes. When I empty the silverware from the dishwasher, I always do the knives first, then forks, then spoons, in order from the longest to the shortest. And Georgetown stinks. Eat it, Saliza. From Martin Cameron Tafazoli, I am emailing you on behalf of all the Redskins R-word fans. Way to go. You just had to say every day on your show that the Skins were going to finish the season 10-6. Way to go, Tony. I give permission for Dan Snyder to blame the season on you and your jinx. No, Tori's already told you what the jinx is.
Yes.
Tori's done that. Dennis Itner in Torrance, California. Itner. Yesterday's show was a bit of a personal David Aldridge moment for the woman I'm related to by marriage and I. Firstly, you graciously thanked us for our Christmas card. Then comes the news segment. Nigel reported on the gambling nuns of the St. James Catholic Church. I know that church. I'm a member of that church.
Hello.
We got a letter in the bulletin about the whole scandal, but sadly they didn't include if the sisters took the under on the Rams next weekend. P.S. Nigel conveniently didn't read my email from November 19th, but to reiterate, my Loyola Marymount's 65, Georgetown 52, Edith Saliza.
There you go.
From John Franson in Tacoma Park, Maryland, the People's Republic of Tacoma Park. There are really only three meaningful responses to your utter bafflement on how the quip works. Blunt force, in the name of all that is holy, it's electricity. It works on an electricity battery powered by electricity. Electricity, dear God. Surrender in a whisper. You know what, Tony? No one is supposed to know this. It's magic. Complete magic. Nobody understands it, but they're so happy that their teeth are clean and their arms aren't so tired. Same principles when you kept Tinkerbell alive as a kid by saying, I do believe in fairies, I do. And then just plain mean. Don't worry about the electricity or the battery. Just stick the thing in your mouth and hold it there while making a bzzz sound. Take it out after 10 minutes. Repeat daily until you need dentures.
That is a good email.
Yeah, seems good.
From White Kaiser, Marty Kaiser's son. Just wanted to let you know the Kaiser family is very much looking forward to reading Simon the Sea Cat together this holiday season with Marty Kaiser, his grandchildren, Emmett, Henry White's sons, Juliet, Emily's daughter, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage who cannot stand your yelling and screaming podcast, and the rest of us, as I just ordered the paperback version on Amazon. I also wanted to give you an idea on your next book, Saliza the Fake News Sewer Rat, known for eating it, LeVar Ball impersonations, defunct quiz show podcasts, and commenting on Chuck the Sleepy Eyed Todd's sports bets. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could get James Carville to do the audiobook. Richard Rosenblatt in Marriottsville, Maryland. Enough with the right sock, left sock. Let's get to something important. Does the toilet paper come over the roll or under while refilling? Over.
Yeah, it's over. Over. Always.
Over. Over. Yes. Neil Freed, dear Dr. Grandpa, while I'm endlessly amused by your treatment of the eternal question of which sock do you put on first, you must admit that due to its solitary nature, it's a somewhat limiting conundrum. Perhaps a richer, more fitting conundrum for a PhD such as yourself is to consider. It's one I learned at a wonderful play about Ann Landers and Dear Abby. Do you like your toilet paper to come down from the top of the roll or up from the bottom? And to take it beyond the realm of the solitary, have you ever been a guest at someone's home and flipped the roll on their dispenser?
Oh!
I've never done that. According to Ann Landers, close to 35% of us have done that. I'm quite sure if that just 0.1% of the people who wrote Dan Landers about this would visit Chatter, baby boy Bootsy would be able to be kept in the style to which he has become accustomed. I would never do that in someone's home.
Such a violation. Yeah.
I don't think you can do that in someone's home.
I totally know people who would do that.
Really?
Really? Yeah. I think it should be over. Sometimes if I find it under, I live with it, but I think it should be over. If you're out in bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
But we don't have the chaputzvah to do it.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Your undertone.
bad. Now it's not. Now I'm great. Now I'm great. Now I'm great.